WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Like Jonathan Demme, John Sayles, and many other prominent filmmakers, Joe Dante learned how to make movies by turning out B-pictures for producer-director Roger Corman. Out on his own, he made The Howling, and then hit it big with Gremlins in 1984. But his last few films, including Inner Space, Gremlins 2, and The Burbs, were box office disappointments. Will his new movie make him red hot again? Stephen Schiff had a look at Matinee.
Actually, I think Matinee is destined to die a terrible death at the box office, which is too bad, because it's a labor of love for Joe Dante, and the love shows in every frame. Dante's clearly a movie nut, and Matinee returns to the years that made him one, the late 50s and early 60s, when small-town movie houses often showed creature features about giant insects and nuclear mutations. That was the era of Dante's mentor, Roger Corman, and also of his idol, William Castle, a terrible director, but one of the most audacious and inventive B-movie showmen of all time. It was Castle who lured customers into his film Macabre by issuing insurance policies against death by fright. And it was Castle who had the nerve to wire movie theater seats to produce a mild electrical shock during key scenes in his most famous film, The Tingler. Castle also liked to appear in his own trailers, and so does Dante's version of him, Lawrence Woolsey, played by John Goodman with a foot-long cigar and buckets of con man cheer. Matinee takes place in Key West, Florida, during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, when every kid in the neighborhood was worried about impending nuclear doom, but not so worried that he couldn't be distracted by this trailer for Woolsey's next big picture.
Yes, the atomic bomb is terrible. But more terrible still are the effects of atomic mutation. Hello, I'm Lawrence Woolsey. And I want to warn you about something that could happen. Something that does happen in my newest motion picture. Observe the ant. A miniature marvel of social cooperation and prodigious strength. But if a man and an ant were exposed to radiation simultaneously, the result would be terrible indeed, for the result would be Mant.
In 1967, Susan Sontag wrote perhaps her finest essay on the movies, The Imagination of Disaster, which was all about how the threat of nuclear war had given rise to a new kind of science fiction film. In Matinee, Dante and his screenwriter, Charlie Haas, forge the same connections with half the effort, and they make a dozen other intellectually respectable points without so much as raising a sweat. Their story centers on Lawrence Woolsey's personal appearance in Key West to promote his film, but it's also a sweet-natured high school picture about the kids who get turned on by the prospect of Mant coming to town, and about their worried parents, and about what it felt like to live in America during the age of innocence that preceded the Kennedy assassination. Dante's work has always been characterized by a great eye for detail. The right props, the right music, the right clothes, flawless special effects. And for anyone who was young in the early 60s, Matinee is an orgy of remembrance. Lenny Bruce records, Fallout shelters, Davy Crockett t-shirts, and, of course, the movies themselves. Dante shows us Mant almost in its entirety, and it's just about perfect, right down to its star, who also happens to be Woolsey's girlfriend, played with a beautiful snarl by Kathy Moriarty. Universal Pictures is dumping Matinee into theaters with a minimum of promotion, and so it'll probably die a sad death, but it shouldn't. I can't imagine any baby boomer, from Bill Clinton on down, seeing this movie without being tickled by its wit and insight, and without feeling a more profound twinge for all those years we spent coping with the terror that is only now beginning to seem just another crazy relic of our youth.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.